Well, yeah, we haven't done this in quite a while, but I sat down and realized I had never published the last one we recorded
Super.
like a month and a half ago.
Is that
So I
all it
put that
was?
out. I
Okay.
think, I don't know, it's been a while, but it also hasn't been because time has no meaning anymore still.
I guess, I don't know.
And we both, in between the time we recorded the last one and recording this one, we've both gone through a full move. You've changed jobs. And I think that's pretty much it. But like, oh,
Right.
we've both been on vacation. It's just been a lot of stuff has happened between the last time you recorded and now.
Little bit. Just a little bit.
But yeah, we're back, I guess.
Maybe. Who knows?
It
Life just keeps getting busier and busier.
really does. It's absolutely insane.
It's a lot. This is the book report.
I don't remember where I was going with this.
I don't know where you're going either. I'm not in your head.
How's your job?
Oh, it's fine. You know, it's the same everywhere you go. You teach children, they don't listen, and then you move on with your day.
Always fun. But do you like your district and stuff now that you're back in
Yeah, I
the
think it'll be better.
Kansas area?
Yeah, I don't really have too many complaints now that I'm not working for a self-declared Valley girl.
Ew.
Yeah, that was how she
How is there a
introduced herself.
self-declared Valley girl in South Dakota?
Kalina?
Wow, that's the worst I've ever done when
That was
trying to
pretty
name
bad.
the
That was pretty bad.
state
Good grief, dude.
I was going to cut all of this out, but now I have to leave that in. Oh my
Oh man,
God.
you're
I got
not
the
even in the
South
right
right this
time
time,
zone.
though.
Not even in the right time zone.
Yeah, no, I have no, that was just not even drunk or anything. I don't know where that came from.
Was pretty good.
I'm really excited about this concept we came up for this episode, and I just kind of wanted to, we haven't done something in a while, so I wanted to do fun things. And not only do I want to do the thing we talked about with these badly explained book plots, but I have been doing trivia nights again. Now that we found one that's kind of outside and doesn't start till like 8 o'clock, so it's not blisteringly hot. And they did movie mashups the other night. Have you ever played that game?
I think so, but I don't really remember.
It's basically you take the plot of two different movies that end and begin with the same name or the same
Oh,
word,
yeah.
and then you describe the combined plot, and they have to figure out what you're talking about. My go-to example is always a cat who hates Mondays gets a message from his dead father to build a baseball stadium in his cornfield.
Oh, Garfield of Dreams. Gotcha.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think if we think of any of these, we should do book plot mashups. It's probably a lot harder with book plots, but
Yeah,
that's
that
what our
sounds
podcast
impossible. Why
is.
not just book names and do the same thing as the movies?
I mean, yeah. But you still have to just. I mean, I guess you could say it, but then you have to. If we could just come up with a good one, then we have to figure out the plot of what the combined book would be like.
Fair enough.
But yeah, so where was that? I'm gonna look for that text that started this. Oh yeah, Wheel of Time trailer's out. Did you watch that?
Did watch that.
What are
It
your
was
thoughts?
so.
That's kind of where I am.
I feel like they're really playing up the oh, I don't even, it's been so long since I've read the books. What are the like women wizards
Aes
called?
Sedai.
Yeah, the Aes Sedai. They're really playing that element of it up, and it is an element of it. But in the books, that wasn't like always the focal point.
No, not by like book five or six. Like
Yeah.
it quickly shifts away. But if you got to think back to the first book.
Well, I am. And the fact that they didn't in the entire trailer mention the fact that they, I don't know, it was weird. They just like left out some stuff.
The trailer seems very generic, but again, the first book was too. It feels it feels like they were both trying to give nothing away and to just look like every other fantasy thing that's ever existed.
Yeah.
So the trailer was weird. It was beautiful, and I love like how colorful it was, and it wasn't like dark and dreary. It kind of looked like
a mashup between The Witcher and Game of Thrones.
Yes. But like at least in tone, it looks like that, which works for the tone. But they give nothing about the fact that this is, you know, the fantasy that all modern fantasies are based off of anymore. So it should be, I don't know, a bigger deal. I just feel like that trailer wasn't meant for people who've read the books.
No.
Because it wasn't exciting to me.
I don't know. They should. I think you're right. They probably should have said something along those lines or made it, I don't know. I don't, like, based off the trailer, I don't know that it's going to get as much traction as Amazon wants it to get, but...
Yeah, that trailer just, it seems poorly designed to either entice people who've never heard of this, or to excite people who have read all the books.
Yeah.
It just seemed like it didn't hit either of those goals, so I don't know what the goal actually was for that trailer, so... Yeah.
I mean, one of the reasons, in my opinion, why things like Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings have as much success as they do with mass, like the general masses, is because they are magic light. Like, it shows up from time to time, but there's really not any of it. And I think that makes it a lot more palatable for people who are like, I'm not a weirdo. I'm not into that stuff.
And is so that why your name is CBD Gandalf?
Because no, it's because like... the text that you sent that started this whole thing called Gandalf a Stoner Uncle.
Oh, okay. That's fair, too. That's what I was about to read, but I was just thinking it's like weed but light, because magic but light, because CBD is like weed but doesn't actually get you high, so it's basically pointless.
I mean, it cuts down on inflammation, so that's pretty good for like muscle stuff.
You could also get CBD and high if you just smoke the real stuff.
So yeah, what if I got stuff to do and my muscles hurt?
Then take like a small bit of it. Don't take a full edible.
Do you not remember what I do for a living?
Oh yeah, that's true. I don't know how you would. Yeah, I guess you just have to take CBD. That's sad for you.
No, it's not. I also don't take CBD because it's expensive as hell.
It is expensive, but I have it dialed in. I have, if they ever discontinue the edibles I have, I don't know how I'm going to deal with migraines anymore, because I have it dialed in where I can take a like quarter of an edible if I start feeling a migraine coming on, and I can still be productive and a useful member of society for the rest of the day. So it's just enough to like make me not hurt, but also not get me high. And if they ever stop selling those brand of edibles, I'm just going to be screwed.
Time to learn how to make your own.
I know how to make my own, but I do not know how to dial in the dosage on my own.
Experimentation.
It's two very different things. But anyways, here's the concept of what we're doing. This was going around on Twitter a while ago. It's honestly, Frodo's journey is so wild. Like, imagine your uncle goes missing after his birthday party, and his older stoner friend from out of town tells you the souvenir he brought back from a Vegas trip 80 years ago is actually Satan's mood ring, and now zombie assassins are coming to burn down your town unless you and your lawn guy meet up with a medieval hoser in a dark gastropub. And it's just, and then it's dot, dot, dot. She could have obviously written the entire, I say she, I don't actually know who originally wrote this, book like that. So we thought we should give our own versions of bad plots and see if the other person can figure out what we're talking about.
Yeah, why not? Unfortunately, I don't know that either of us are as creative as the person who wrote the original, but
probably not.
Such is the folly of imitation.
This is true. But I had fun with it.
Yeah, I did too. I only wrote four because three of mine are kind of long.
Okay. Only one of mine's really long. The rest of mine are all one ish paragraph.
Okay.
All right. You want to go first?
Sure.
Or should I go first since I have an extra, I guess?
Oh, it doesn't really matter. What do you want to do?
Okay. I'm going to go first. So, man has an existential crisis, commits arson, insurance fraud, and blackmail in order to fund a massive pyramid scheme pseudo-cult, which naturally gets out of hand and starts being blamed for terrorist attacks. He gets demoralized by his followers' zealous fulfillment of the ideals he made up when he was super depressed, so he shoots himself in the head. What book am I talking about?
Fight Club?
Yeah!
All right. Suck it, everyone. I'm a brilliant man. So good at this.
It's so much fun. That one,
I don't know why, but like, even the way you were describing it sounded like Palahniuk.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to get a, like, all of Palahniuk plots sound like only books he could write because they're so weird and depressing.
They are nuts. And honestly, bizarre. his plots are this already.
That's true. They are.
It's already this. Just
badly explained real world life.
So on that note, you know how we always talk about forming a cult? I don't know if you've ever watched the show AP Bio.
Yes, I watched the first season. Is it canceled or is it
restarted? No, it just came out with season 4. It's hilarious. Nice. You should watch all of it. But in season 4, episode 2, the AP Bio class starts a cult. And it's hilarious. Beautiful. It's really funny. Yeah.
Does it go with our plan of raising and selling red pandas?
No, unfortunately it doesn't.
Every cult should do that. Mostly because I want to buy a red panda as a pet.
Yeah, I don't think you can, which is why we have to raise them.
Exactly.
Scratch.
It's our religious
embryonic
freedoms.
Stem cell research. Make all the religions mad.
Always fun.
All right, is it my turn?
Yeah.
Okay, this is my shortest one.
Okay.
All right, so, quote, kids shouldn't be allowed to play outside unsupervised, end quote. That's the moral of this made-for-baby boomers parenting book about how letting kids use their imaginations and ride bikes without helmets will end up with at least one of them drowning in a river.
Bridge to Terabithia.
That was pretty good. That's fast. Yeah. You got it.
Yeah. I thought, like, as soon as you went to boomer parents, for some reason, I was immediately like, this is going to be about Bridge to Terabithia, and then one of them died. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Love that book, but it is a weird cautionary tale that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Not really. It's like, use your imagination and have fun. Also, if your friend like leaves you for one day, you're gonna die tragically.
Yeah.
Or if you leave your friend for one day, they'll die tragically. Like, ugh.
Yeah, and it's like, imagination is the key to like living a fulfilled life, except for when it kills you. That's kills not a moral we should teach children.
It's a weird book. Honestly, as a kid, like, I cried when I read it because it was just so heartbreaking.
But I have no idea what the moral it's actually trying to get across is.
Dude, I don't know. It was written in the 70s, so they were all on something.
Yeah.
I think it was leaded gasoline at that point.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, leaded gasoline and serial killer nightly news broadcasts.
I mean, what else are you going to do with your time? They didn't really have Netflix yet, so.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I think we're now all obsessed with true crime because we don't have serial killers roaming the countryside.
We do. We just don't talk about them.
Well, that's less fun. Talk about them.
I think we decided when you talk about them, you have more copycats, so we kind of cut that one out.
Well, that's less fun, I guess.
Yeah.
Copycats are lame. Okay. This one I'm not sure you've read, but I don't know. We're doing it anyways. COO, it's also my longest one. COO of a mid-sized company is interrupted mid-relations with an HR-violating subordinate to be told by the CEO's assistant that the CEO had just attempted suicide. Him and the assistant decide to just lock the CEO into his office and have the COO take over some of his responsibilities, which suddenly includes answering an emergency call. He grabs a couple of company engineers, a bodyguard, a driver, and goes to figure out what's going wrong. They barely get out of the door before the government blows up their offices. The COO decides everybody's out to kill him and runs away. Then, when he's being chased by government agents without having any idea what's going on, he decides to post the whole thing to YouTube with unfounded claims. It goes so viral that it causes massive political strife and starts a rebellion and a civil war. COO takes his ragtag remnants of the company, steals a military vehicle, joins a terrorist cell who is fighting a different terrorist cell, exposes one of them testing a biological weapon, and manages to stop it before it infects the larger population.
So I just finished reading this.
Okay.
Leviathan Wakes.
Yep.
Yep.
I
literally finished that book like 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay,
yeah.
I wasn't sure
when you were like, the COO is having relations, and I was like, I don't really remember, and I had no idea what the book was at first, and then you said steals a military vehicle, and I was like, I got this.
Yeah.
Done.
See, I thought I was being clever with phrasing it all in corporate jargon instead that was of good. Sci-fi spaceship jargon.
I mean, to be fair, they basically are a corporation.
Yeah,
each ship is. No, that was good. That was a good way to do that.
All right, nice. I feel validated.
Yeah, that was a good book. Are the next ones good?
They get better. They get progressively better. And cool. By better, I mean the third and fourth book, both times, like, the drop happens, like the moment you can't put it down. Like, I get so stressed out that I had to finish the rest of the book in one sitting. And so every book since the third book, basically, I've had to carefully measure how much I was reading each day, because if I got to the third act twist, I would stay up the rest of the night finishing the book.
Fair enough. All right. My number two, I think you'll get this one pretty easily. Okay. My book three and four are harder. So book two. So imagine there's this group of guys who are slut-shamed for being witches. So basically the Scarlet Letter, but with the dudes. And it's totally cool the other way around. So it's totally sexist, but no one cares because dudes suck. Am I right? Anyways, one of the dude witches goes off with a random stranger and takes his friends with him because if there's a white van filled with candy, you might as well tell everyone on the block about it. Anyway, the dude witch starts lucid dreaming, which totally definitely isn't a drug-induced fever dream brought on by the rando he left town with. Anyway, eventually he beats his fever dreams and comes back to reality, thanks therapy, only to realize he has a ton of other issues he has to unpack.
So, is this the first book in the Wheel of Time?
It is.
Okay. I don't know the titles of any of them. I just know book 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
That's fair.
Yeah. Because I just finished the sixth book, but I couldn't tell you the titles of any of them. But that is good. The first book is weirdly all about dreams, and then
Eye of the World. I looked at that.
Yeah, Eye of the World, yeah. Then the dreams just become very unimportant, mm-hmm. unless you're talking about the dream world, and it's just like, what was all that stuff about him having prophetic dreams? And
right.
The bad guy, like, I guess they learned how to block it, but you think they would mention it again at some point.
Yeah, it's weird, because he spends, like, I don't know, at least 30% of the book dreaming.
Yeah, all three of the Taviran do.
Yeah.
And then, okay, by the way, this is massive side note. Why the hell did they ruin Matt? Matt Cawthon was my favorite character until book six, and he became an idiotic jackass in the sixth book. And I was like, what?
He is an idiotic jackass, though.
But the whole point of his character up until this book was that he just didn't want to be involved. Right. And he kept doing, like, kind of stupid things because he wasn't paying much attention because he just didn't want to be there.
Uh-huh.
But because of his magical super luck, it worked out. And so he was kind of a, I don't know, rogue scoundrel character.
Mm-hmm.
But then in book six, he finally started following people's orders and just became a total a-hole. And I was like, I liked him when he was just on the edges, reluctantly being a hero. Now that you gave him some agency, he's become a total dick. Like, what? I don't get that.
Has he ended up with his, I don't know what you can call it, paramour yet?
Yes-ish. Like, there's a girl who's obviously going to end up being it, but he still hates her and he's afraid of her. He's afraid she's going to kill people. And
so is he currently with someone right now?
No.
Oh, never mind. Okay, then you don't know what I'm talking about.
He was with someone that all of this is spoilers if you're listening. He was with someone that was revealed to be a dark lover or whatever they're called that he had to kill.
No.
Okay, no. That happened.
Once he gets to the person I'm talking about, his character arc starts to, like, it gets good. He kind of does a roller coaster thing where he's a really interesting character, and then it's like, and then he gets really interesting again, and you just have to get through it.
Well, I thought this book was going to, book six, I just recently finished it. I thought it was going to completely ignore Perrin because he didn't show up till 2/3 of the way through the book.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know the last book focused on him a lot, but you haven't mentioned him, and we're almost done with this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he ends up with so many characters that kind of happens already to a few of them. Yeah. You can definitely tell who he enjoys writing about and who he's like, I really hate this character and I wish I would have killed him in book two.
This whole book, like, the big reveal in the last book, which was so dumb, and book five is one of the longest books in the series, and I hate it because it does the thing where all this bad stuff's going to happen, but we're going to undo it by the end with the magical fire that killed people back in time. Which is so dumb, but yeah, whatever. Dumb.
But it rips a hole in the fabric of reality. Yeah.
He at least uses it correctly with the whole, it makes a bunch of dramatic irony that now you know that several of these characters that everyone else thinks is dead is actually still alive, which definitely affects things and makes some stuff more interesting. But then they mention that at the beginning of book six, and then they just don't touch on it for the whole book. Like, they don't go back to see these characters, but like once or twice. And I'm just, this would be so much more interesting if you showed me what these quote unquote dead characters are actually doing this whole time.
Yeah.
Instead of pretending they're actually dead when you already told us they aren't. Like, I don't understand why you would do that, but whatever. Like, it's not a reveal. If next book Moraine comes strolling, that was a big spoiler, but if she comes strolling into the tavern or wherever they are, that's not a big reveal. You already told me she's still alive. Like,
yeah,
I don't know why you're playing coy.
Yeah, he does some weird things with his writing that are hard to deal with sometimes, but I don't know.
Okay.
The overarching storyline is interesting enough.
Yeah, we probably should have saved all that spiel till the end, but that's where I am in the series. And oh, well. I'm really annoyed that my favorite character got nerfed into being a jackass.
Yeah, that's about right.
All right, this one might be kind of hard because it's a bit of a stretch, but all right. Guy gets told all of his wildest dreams will come true by a bunch of homeless women, so he takes this to heart and kills everyone in his way to power. People naturally get mad at this, and he runs away to seek help of the crazy homeless ladies. They tell him exactly how he's going to die, so he decides he's immortal, and goes to fight all the people that are mad at him. He dies exactly how they said he would, and everyone else he loves kills themselves because listening to creepy homeless women offering unsolicited advice is no basis for a system of government.
Shoot, I definitely know this, but I can't put my finger on it. I think you stumped me.
It's Macbeth.
Okay. It felt like it was something old.
Yeah. I just really wanted to, because like Macbeth has always been a story that is so dumb to me that your hero character is the reason everything goes wrong. I know it's a tragedy. That's kind of how it works. Yeah. But his big like his tragic flaw is that he trusts these witches. But by trusting them, it just means he completely takes all of their advice really badly.
Yeah.
Like, what? He's just dumb.
Yeah. 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 Shakespeare's always interesting because on the one hand, his plot lines are kind of weird, but on the other hand, he laid the foundation for Western literature. So. Mm-hmm.
And it's still good.
No, it's definitely good.
As a character is really, really stupid. There's a
reason it stuck around. It's just.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. My turn.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I might be able to stump you. And honestly, I am hoping I can stump you with at least one of these. So
okay.
We'll see. All right. So there's this weeb. Do you know what a weeb is?
The guy who's way too obsessed with Japanese stuff, right?
Perfect. Okay. There's this weeb who actually doesn't care that much about Japan or manga or hentai or whatever it is they're into. He is just completely obsessed with a children's book, which is way worse. Against literally all odds, there is actually a school for weebs just like him that makes it possible to live out your weird obsessions without anyone looking at you funny. While at school, surrounded by the other weebs, he manages to find the place the children's book is based off of. Then, like every furry con attendee moving to Japan for the first time, he is disappointed when he finds out that everyone who lives in the storybook place doesn't actually dress up in cosplay all the time or spend 99% of their day watching anime.
Okay, I think it's probably magicians.
Yes, it is all magicians.
Right. Yeah, I was like, it's the storybook thing that kind of gives it away because
I couldn't figure out a way to nix that.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Like that, I didn't like that being the main. Like, I watched the TV show first and didn't really like the TV show, but everyone kept telling me the book is obviously better. So I tried the book and I didn't realize how much of his focus was on these like Narnia books, and I was like, okay. Dude, it is way too obsessed, and this is a weird framing element for this story.
Yeah, it was weird. I didn't really like those books. I read them. I understand why people liked them, but I didn't really like them because I think anyone who did enjoy Narnia wanted to write, like, basically the magicians.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if it is actually real? And Lev Grossman went in such a different direction than I think I would have wanted him to go, that it felt like it left a bad taste in my mouth.
That's fair. It did just go off in a way that would not have, no fans of the genre it's parodying would have gone that direction with these stories, kind of thing.
No. And so that just kind of made it hard to read as, like, because if you're reading it, you want to like relive the fantasy, relive the fantastical elements of it again. Mm. So you're like, oh man, Narnia's real cool. And then you, I don't know, have the Narnia character spill over into the real world or something.
Yeah. If you can separate yourself from it, the last couple books, or last book, I can't remember how many books there are in the series. I remember the ending of it was pretty good.
Didn't make it. I stopped halfway through the last book because the main girl got like raped by a demon.
Yeah.
And enjoyed it. Like I was done at that point. I was like, I cannot. I'm not letting my soul be subjected to this anymore.
That's totally fair. I hate stopping things. There, I can count on probably the one hand the amount of books I just haven't finished. That we've chosen not to finish. There's plenty of books that I am in the middle of reading and want to finish, but books that I've chosen not to finish are few and far between.
Yeah, that's the only one where I was really invested in how the story turned out, and I just couldn't do it.
Gotcha. That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a very obvious one and a not-so-obvious one left that I'm pretty sure you're going to get both of them, though.
All right, give me the obvious one. I want to feel good about myself. Or terrible if I can't get it.
Okay, good. I hope you feel terrible. That's what That's you want cool. to hear from your friends.
Friends like these, right?
All right, so kid gets taken out of class to have invasive medical experiments done on him and tossed back into class while he's still reeling from these. He then gets picked on by his bully, finally stands up for himself, and kicks the shit out of the kid, so he's forced to go to military school for the next 15 years, during which he's tortured, brainwashed, forced to fight to the death with other kids, so it's no wonder that his attempt at a senior prank turns out to be an unprecedented war crime.
Ender's Game.
Yep.
Boom.
Yeah.
Suck it.
It was fairly obvious, but still fun.
Yeah, I was going to be surprised if you didn't do one of them for Ender's Game.
That was the first one I thought of when I saw that tweet. I was like, I'm going to tweet a version of Ender's Game for it. Then I was like, nope, I have a podcast where we talk about books. I'm going to do it on that.
Solid choice. Oh, man, that one just has such a crazy plot line. It's a good one for this. All right, you ready for my last one?
Mm-hmm.
A jackass mercenary who never follows orders or gets along with his commanding officers is celebrated as a hero by everyone he meets. He spends years swapping war stories, banging sexy ladies, and shooting up bad guys, and the occasional farmer just minding his own business. When he finally gets home, his wife has got the fiercest Devil's 12-way going on in the dining room this side of Vegas that you've ever seen. She's got all the local dudes waiting on her hand and foot, and then when Mercenary Man shows up, she pretends she was just as surprised as him to find all the dudes in the house. Mercenary Man challenges each of the other guys to a dick measuring contest, and he wins, obviously. Then he and his wife bang it out and totally don't combine all of their mutual indiscretions into the world's first reported case of gonorrheal syphilis.
Okay. Okay. Is it the Odyssey?
It is the Odyssey.
Okay. Like until she was having a giant orgy, I couldn't place it. Then I was like, is he talking about Odysseus and his wife?
I don't believe for a minute that she refrained for all those 10
years. Especially it being such a Greek culture, like, yeah, she banged everybody.
Right, and then she was just like, oh, yeah, I was totally virtuous, Odysseus. Yeah, no, those little kids aren't mine. What?
No, no, that's why she was virtuous. She didn't have any children by them. That's considered virtuous in ancient Greek society.
Right. Yeah.
That's good. Gonorrheal syphilis. I haven't heard that one in a while.
Yeah,
you got to think Cersei's got some crap that she gave to Odysseus.
At least a little bit.
Life. I mean, getting god AIDS would be a weird present to bring home to your wife when you've been away at war for decades.
Would not be ideal. And again, on the Greek culture thing, like, I get that the whole point of Homer's story is like, oh, she was a virtuous and chaste woman. I don't think Homer really understood the male-female dynamics of society.
Homer seems just naive. In his own. Well, yeah, he seems naive. He may not.
It's like, dude, this is a woman alone at home with no one to really protect her.
He didn't know what the color of the ocean was, because they hadn't invented blue yet, and he was blind. So,
a couple things.
There's lots of weird things about the character of Homer that need dissection, because he seems like he'd be a really interesting person, but also may not have existed. And like, if he did exist, he would have had a bigger impact on the world. You know, like, we would have known more about him. So I lean to the side that there is no such person as Homer. It's a bunch of people writing under its name. I don't know. I love that stuff. I find that all really interesting. The how you got from oral tradition to it written down.
Mm-hmm.
Like that all, the whole concept of all that crap is interesting. Like, I'm reading a bunch of Irish mythology right now, and it's so weird because most of now Irish mythology is them trying to recreate stories that existed pre-Christendom, and it's almost impossible to do. So they're sussing them out and just making them up based on the remnants that they have post-Christendom in Ireland. And so it's just really interesting stuff. Because like, there's folklore, or like, there'll be like folk traditions that don't have any stories attached to them, but they have stories near enough that you can guess that they're part of some proto-myth, and they try to piece together it like that. And that's just really cool, weird literary archaeology. I want that to be a job, and I want to do it.
That would be a really cool job. I agree.
All right, here's my last one.
All right.
And it's kind of a stretch too, but whatever. So our narrator goes on vacation. He picks up a unique stranger, goes to bed with him, even though the man tells him everybody he sleeps with runs away in fear the next day. Narrator spends the night violently hallucinating while watching his hookup sleep, only to leave early morning because he had a premonition of the man killing him.
The fuh?
I guarantee you've read this book.
Okay.
Because we've discussed it.
Okay. I got nothing.
The Illustrated Man.
The what?
The Illustrated Man.
I've never read that. I don't know what that is.
Yes, you have. By Ray Bradbury?
No, I've never read a single book by Ray Bradbury.
You've never read The Illustrated? Oh, well,
I haven't even read Fahrenheit 451.
The fuck is wrong with you, sir?
I'm an uncultured heathen. What can I tell you?
Okay, well, that's your homework for next week. You need to read like 5 Ray Bradbury books. They're all short.
Oh, I'm aware.
But The Illustrated Man is a collection of short stories written by Ray Bradbury about an illustrated man who was like cursed by some, I don't know, somebody. And all of his tattoos tell individual stories that take place in random points throughout time, most of them in the future. And so the narrator just sees the guy and talks to him over drinks. And the guy's like, you're welcome to watch, but you'll leave in fear. Everybody does. And so each little short story is framed by him, like, seeing a different part of the guy's body as he rolls over in his sleep, because he just sits by the fire and watches this person sleep all night. It's really weird framing.
Yep.
But he just watches each of these tattoos as they tell him a story, and that's how he framed this collection of short stories. But the last one he sees in the small of the man's back is the man strangling him to death, so he runs away in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it was wild. Just used as a framing device, but all of the best short stories are in there. Like, have you read the short story about the automated house that's working even though all of its people are dead because of a nuke?
No.
Have you read the short story about the kids who program their holosuite to kill have lions eat their parents?
No.
These were assigned to us in my AP English class, or something.
No.
Okay, so most of Ray Bradbury's most famous short stories come from The Illustrated Man.
Okay.
But the framing device for The Illustrated Man that most people forget is equally bizarre as each one of the individual stories. There's a story in there where a rocketeer chases the second coming of Christ, who shows up at all these different planets. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to chase it down. And he's always like a few hours behind. They're just so bizarre. They're so weird, but each one of them is just excellent little short stories. You need to read it.
Well, learn something new every day.
Yeah, okay. Well, just spoiled the ending of it for you, but it doesn't matter. Each one of those stories okay.
No, see what happened is I didn't read any of these books. That way, we could end with you giving a Ray Bradbury shout-out.
Oh, always good when we plan things out this far.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Planned it. Totally planned it.
That's what we do. We plan things. Well, do you have any actual book recommendations we can end on? We don't do a lot of them. Last time you ended on Night Watch, which I have in my Kindle and it's still not opened, but I did get a copy.
Fair enough. I actually have not finished that one.
No. Huh.
I remember my life has gotten insanely busy in case you missed that whole thing. So the only book I've finished, I think, is The Expanse.
Gotcha. Yeah, Leviathan Wakes. I finished the next two books in the Wheel of Time series just because I'm listening to them. And then I finished rereading the Mistborn trilogy because I realized how much of that I had forgotten. And just wow.
Cool.
Such good series. Like, the ending of that series is the only time I've ever wanted a like long form fantasy series to go on just a little bit longer.
Oh yeah.
Usually by the end of those, any kind of fantasy series, you're just like burnt out by the end, even if it's amazing.
Yeah.
And just like, okay.
You're just glad that they finally found some resolution.
Yeah. Think like Lord of the Rings, the movies, how you felt at the end of that, where it just kept ending. Mm-hmm. That's how most of them felt. But Mistborn ends so quickly and so dramatically. Just like, I just want to linger a little bit with all these revelations you just gave me.
Right. And he tries to give you a little bit of it, but he really does rush it. And I don't know if he was finished with it and he just didn't care anymore, or if he was like, there's too much to say.
It might be a little bit, there was too much to say, but it also really drives home the urgency of how horrible everything has gotten by then. Like, it really feels dire at the end of that book.
Yeah.
And it's probably because everything's so shortened.
That's probably true. I don't know. I think he could have probably stopped writing after that book. After that series.
I don't know. Have you read the modern era or whatever?
The Western style?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're good. I mean, you know.
The fourth one's coming out real soon, isn't it?
Is it? Okay. No, they're good. They just don't really like hold you like the originals did.
Yeah. They're not. I think it's because there's not an, I don't know, Western might not be my genre, but in those ones, it's not an overarching danger as much.
There's really not, no.
Like, until the second book, you don't even realize that there is an overarching story, and it's not just a dime store, like, detective novel written in the Wild West of a series you've already read. Like,
it's speaking of Wild West fantasy, I am two pages in, but I did start The Gunslinger by Stephen King.
Oh, nice. That's the only one of that series I like.
Yeah, I haven't. So this is actually my first Stephen King novel.
Really?
Yeah. Except for,
you read On Writing, didn't you?
I read On Writing, but that's not a novel. That's like a memoir.
Yeah, and I've read one of his other not horror novels. Can't remember now. But yeah, he's a really good writer. He's just very long-winded is my biggest problem with him.
Stephen King?
Yeah. Like, The Stand have been, like, 50% shorter. Like, you could have gotten rid of half of that book. Same with Salem's Lot. They were just insanely too long.
He wrote a introduction to the book, the version I'm reading. And it was really, it was kind of weird because he was like, people have been waiting for me to finish this book for so long. There was a woman who wrote me and said that she was 85 years old and was probably going to die soon. And could I please, oh, please just tell her the ending? And I didn't. It's like, okay, you dick.
Oh my god!
The hell, man.
I mean, I wouldn't do that either because I don't trust people.
No, absolutely. Not.
I would thus then not brag about it.
No, I wouldn't tell anyone in the world that I had denied a dying woman's last wishes. Like, come on.
Oh man, he's an interesting character. Authors, we should just do, we should do an episode up about just our weirdest stories we know about authors, because authors are all weird.
They're their own breed for sure.
All right. That's what I'm going to do for our next episode, or maybe just like a segment in future episodes is weird author stories we know, because authors are weird people.
Yeah. The problem with that for me is going to be that it's all, like, I don't remember the weird things I know about an author unless it's related to something we're talking about.
Yeah. The only one in my brain's like, oh, yeah. We've mentioned so many times, but I just, my favorite one is that J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis showed up at a random ass cocktail party in polar bear costumes.
Yeah.
It's just so glorious. It's just a fact everyone needs to know.
Yeah, Tolkien was an interesting dude for a lot of reasons. He was also like, I don't think that the people who currently like Tolkien would have liked him in real life. Cause he was kind of like a, not a crotchety old dude, but definitely a crotchety old dude. Cause like, back in the '60s, so Tolkien was obviously Catholic, and back in the '60s, the Catholic Church said, all right, you can start, doing the like parts of the mass in English instead of Latin. Mm-hmm. And Tolkien would just sit in his pew. And while everyone else was doing the English, he would, as loud as possible, say the Latin form.
That's amazing. All right, we definitely need a full episode of these. I know I like we got to talk about
episode of Tolkien.
Yeah, just episode of Tolkien, or just yeah. If we run out of those, should we off things? Because we were the other night at trivia, we were talking about the fact that Mary Shelley and Byron and all of them, they had to have the like weirdest group parties of all time, because they invented genres of fiction just getting wasted at one of their lake houses. That would have been a really fun group to hang out with.
Maybe.
All right. Well, we should wrap this up. I know you have stuff going on. But hey, yeah, off air, we should figure out tomorrow and Labor Day.
All right. Well, I'll let you know, and we can definitely do that. So.
Okay, well, I now need to cut that out. But yeah, if you like this and have ideas, I know we just put out the episode that we recorded like forever ago about weird trends in books. And if I had a nickel every time this happened, I'd only have two, but it's weird that it happened twice. So if you have any of those, send them to us. If you have any weird author stories you want us to talk about next time, send them to us at bookreportpod@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter @book_pod. I'm not even going to read the Facebook because neither of us have checked it in a year. But our Instagram is @TheBookReportPod. Excuse me. Our Instagram is @TheBookReportPod with underscores underneath each word. So follow us and stuff.
Or do whatever you were doing before you started listening. It's fun too.
No. Whatever you're doing before you started listening was wrong. Never do it again. We see you.
Yeah, I see you helping out the homeless. We're talking specifically to you. Jerk.
What's the Republican rationale for not feeding children? It's going to make them complacent and spoiling them.
I haven't heard that one. That's interesting.
Yeah, no, several like well-end schools are banning free and reduced lunches because it spoils children.
You're kidding.
Nope, not even at all. I'm going to
like just point out that generally speaking, and I might be missing the mark here, but generally speaking, it is not the child's fault if they don't have enough to eat.
Yeah, but it's all about they want to get the poor people out of their community because ew, poors. Man. So they're just saying they're banning free and reduced lunches from certain school districts because it spoils children.
Well, there's a special place in hell, I suppose. So
100%, yeah. On that note, we'll see y'all next time.
In that special place of hell.
We're going to be broadcasting live.
I'd rather not.